Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome back to How to Be Sound, a podcast where I, Rosemary McCabe, chat to various interesting people about how they go about being sound in their everyday lives. That sounds good, doesn't it? Today's guest is none other than internet superstar, cookbook author, co-author, and I guess public speaker?
Yeah, go on.
James Kavanagh. James,
hi.
Welcome to How to Be Sound.
Thank you for that intro.
Are you offended that it took me so long to have you on?
Yes. How long are you doing this podcast now?
This, I think, is episode 17. So okay. 6 years.
A long time.
A long time.
Well, thanks for having me on. Although I did cancel the last time because I was really sick.
Oh, remember? Yeah.
I was hallucinating and everything. So.
I do remember. But my producer slept it out that morning, so it was actually lucky.
Oh, grand.
Because I texted him and I was like, James, are you sick? He's not coming. And he texted me at like 10 to the time you're meant to be here. And he was like, I just woke up.
I love when like mutual cancellations like work out.
I do love him. And I also love when somebody texts you and goes like, are we still on for tonight? And you're like, actually, I'm wrecked. And then they go, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
That's the best feeling ever.
It's delicious.
Little icebreaker that I do sometimes. Mm. Do you remember the first time we met?
Yes. In Forever 21. Do you remember this?
No, that wasn't it.
Yes, it was.
You look so annoyed.
Are you sure? When is your version?
I am pretty sure we met one time that I came into Think House to film something. I can't remember what
was. Was it for eBay?
Yes. And we didn't really, like, we weren't talking, but we were introduced and we met. And it was during your phase of wearing really high platform shoes and capes.
My goth phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically, after that time that I kind of fleetingly met you in Think House, I saw you everywhere.
Like, I was Exchequer Street boy back then. Do you remember?
Oh,
from
yes.
Broadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were also, if you were walking around, you would always see you because you were so much taller than everyone else because of your shoes.
My platforms, they were 10 inches.
Yeah, so that was the first time we met, so now I'm offended.
Oh, okay. Remember. Well, our first meeting was in Forever 21. I should
like when
remember.
We actually became aware of, when you became aware of me,
yeah.
Insultingly.
What's that like 10 years ago?
No, you know what? It's not. It's 7 years ago or 8 years ago. And I know this because yesterday I was looking through all my photos to try and find a photo for that 10-year challenge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one where everyone's posting 2009 versus 2019. And I found a photo of me DJing and I was like, oh my God, I look good.
In Forever 21?
Yeah. And I DJed for half an hour or something at the opening of Forever 21. James was doing the PR for it.
I hired you.
You hired me?
Yeah.
Hired me? I think I did it for a voucher, James.
No, you got paid.
Did I?
Yeah. It was like a what do you call it when you give someone like a thank you of like 500 euro or something?
I don't think it was that much.
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
No, I did.
I'd have to look back through my
account.
Paid
well.
You must know how you're seen to a certain extent. And somehow I kind of feel like you're the biggest social media star in Ireland who has somehow managed to be basically universally adored. You know, like,
I'll take that.
Is it weird to hear that about yourself or are you aware? Like most people like you.
Yeah. That's a big statement, I think. Adored.
A big, bold statement.
I think, like, for me, the person, like, I don't see that all the time. Like, I get trolled. I get negative comments almost every day from people. Like, my following in percentage-wise is 91% female and 9% male on Instagram, which I think is pretty reflective across all my platforms.
Yeah.
And sometimes I find, like, girls would tag their boyfriends and things and then their boyfriend replies being like, F off, hate that man. So I'm not very popular amongst the straights.
But you know what? I think a lot of Instagram, like when I was kind of big on Snapchat in inverted commas, you know, when Snapchat was getting big and I had a lot of followers, partners in general hated me. I think it was the kind of thing that if people were going out, one person would like you and one person wouldn't. And the person who didn't started to really, really hate you because they were forced to watch it in bed at night. Because people, like, I used to get into bed beside my then boyfriend and watch Makeup Fairy. And I remember him being like, why are we watching this? And I'd be like, shh, like, it's important.
Yeah, I get guys who come up to me, straight men, and they're like, listen, I hate your voice, but, you know, I hear it every night. My girlfriend plays it, but can I get a picture so I can send it to her? And like, they start off by attacking me and then they're like, can I get a photo?
And do you say yes?
Yeah. because the girlfriend obviously likes me. So, you know, I get my fair share of hate, but yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I suppose from an outsider's point of view, I'm an outsider insofar as I follow you and I follow a whole lot of other people and I read all these threads because I'm a gossipy bitch. And nobody really gives out about you.
Yeah, and that I guess that is true. And it is unusual, I think, in this world. And we've had conversations about that before, about how I don't really get scalded in those groups in big kind of threads or whatever. Which, touch wood, I enjoy not being talked about in that sense. I've never really been involved in scandally things, I
guess.
That's
kind of what I was going to say. Like, I get talked about in those threads sometimes, but more like, I hate her face. I find her really annoying. She's very holier than thou. But there's nothing that I've ever done that people can be like, I can't believe she did this.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really. Like, there was one time I said, I was talking about how I'd been to a conference about psoriasis. And I was like, it's so interesting. Psoriasis has a really high incidence in Ireland because we're so inbred.
Okay.
And those are the words that I used. And the outrage. And I was like, I'm not saying your mom slept with her cousin. I'm saying in Ireland, because we're an island, our gene pool is really small. And of course, like, that's why we have such a high incidence of psoriasis, like, and like facts. Cystic fibrosis. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
And I mean, possibly I could have used nicer words than inbred. But I think that was like the most scandalous thing I ever did.
Yeah.
The moniker social media star has become kind of gross.
The which?
The name social media star.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
Because I guess I've Kurabini, like, my food wing of my life, I would just say I'm kind of involved in, like, food. But, like, I don't know. I would never refer to myself as a social media star or an influencer or whatever. Oh, there's the dog.
The dog shows us every time.
But I don't know. Like, I think labels are what media use and people who want to, like, call
people
but things.
I guess
I'm just kind of doing my bits and have a following and people just watch me. But I and you're probably the same. Like, you didn't set out to be an influencer.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
But, like, I think you were all, like, when you were in the Irish Times and stuff, you were always just, like, expressing your thoughts.
I was always talking and people sometimes paid attention and either got annoyed or liked it. But I think when I left Stellar and went kind of freelance full time, I went, I'm going to make a living out of being a social media star. Mm. But, like, am I right in thinking that that's your number one mode of income?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if
you gave a shit about LinkedIn, your LinkedIn would probably say social media influencer.
Yeah.
And the two of us are like, ugh.
I know, it's gross, and it is real, like, it sounds so arsehole-y. And you know what the worst thing is? When I get into taxis or whatever and someone's like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like,
oh, I know.
Ugh. I just always lie and say I'm a plumber or, like, I fix things. And no, I usually just say I work in advertising or whatever, because it's the most arsehole-y thing to describe. You know, I have a following.
Yeah, and also taxi drivers, I found, like, when I was blogging full time, and I guess because I had a blog, and even though that wasn't really how I was making my money, I still considered myself a blogger.
Mm.
They would just get into so many conversations about how their daughter wanted to be a blogger, and what should I think about this, and what should I think about that, and did I think she should do a degree, and I'd be like, oh no, I do a lot
of stuff in schools, and I guess the younger generation, like what I'm doing and what you're doing, it's quite a new career, a new way of making money, so they see it as something really shiny and amazing. But I guess they don't see the journey. Like, I was in PR for 6 years, and that definitely kind of enabled me to do what I'm doing now. It's storytelling, basically, and the same with you. So I get all these kids coming up to me being like, how do I get more followers? How do I become what you're doing?
And that's, it's like, the worst question ever, isn't it?
You know? And it's like, I don't know. Like, just do you. And if people follow you, great. But I don't think it's something you can set out to be.
You
have it or you don't, in a weird way.
I mean, I think it's easier if you're a hot white woman.
Mm.
Definitely. Like, you can grow a following really, really easily.
Yeah.
And, like, that's sad. Like, if you're a hot, thin, white woman.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, I've seen so many people as well doing this. Have you noticed this teal and orange trend?
No.
I'll show it to you afterwards, and I'll put a link in the show notes to a few accounts that do it, but there are accounts that basically post only in variations of teal and orange because it's meant to be pleasing to the eye.
Oh.
And there are a few accounts that do it. So, like, there is a lot of gaming the system that goes on where people are like, I know how I'm going to get big. I'm going to post pictures of myself smiling, looking pretty, in not a lot of clothes, and I'm going to use teal and orange.
Well, I guess there is certain, like, I know if I put up a photo of me versus a photo of an inanimate object, I will get the more likes.
Yeah.
So I guess you can kind of, like, figure out what does better, which is kind of sad because sometimes I'm like, this is a stunning photo.
Like,
I put up a picture of me twerking on a step and it's like loads of likes. You know?
Put up a picture of me twerking on a step. Casual. You mentioned there that you were working in PR. When you left your job in PR, was it to be a social media influencer?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really scary thing because when I was doing it, I remember the only other guy really that was doing it was James Patrice.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't going into something very specific, like fashion or like, you know what, people like Louise Cooney or you know, Niamh Cullen or these people, like they're very focused and specific on what they're doing. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what, I was putting up stupid videos and pictures, so I didn't know really what I was doing. I was kind of similar to what James Patrice is doing, just like funny stuff. Yeah. So I remember when I left, it was because I got my first offer from a brand to put something on my Instagram for like 300 euro, whatever it was. And I was like, oh my God, I can. Like,
hang on, you left when you got your first offer?
Yeah.
That is the confidence of men now, that you're like, this is it now. I think I waited till I was at like 10 and then I was going, maybe I could make a go of this.
Like, no, I think I had 12,000 followers and I was like, got the one offer and I was like, right, this is me. I'm done. Off I go. But to be honest, I was so sick of PR at that stage. Yeah. So I was like, any glimmer of hope to leave, I just hopped on it. But I also was in the mindset of people, I think you need to put yourself into an abyss in order to attract work. I felt like if I was in PR, I wasn't going to attract more work. And I was also kind of constrained by the brands and stuff I was working on, and competitors and stuff.
Compete.
I couldn't take.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I left anyway. And my dad had a freak out. He was like, you know, you're getting your insurance and you're paid every, you know, every month on the button. So how do you know where you're going? I was like, Dad, I have a following. I'm leaving for my followers. They'll support me no matter what. But sure, look, it
and
worked.
They did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And since then, have you had a month where you're like, fuck, I've no money, or has it all been?
No, it's been.
It looks like
honest,
it's been pretty good.
It's been fine. Yeah.
Can you remember all the brands you've worked with?
Yeah, I probably could. Yeah.
How many do you think?
To list them off, I would say 20.
What I would
think?
Say more.
Would you say more? Well, like, a lot of this stuff is repetitive. Like, for example, Centra is like
Centra,
a 12-month contract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Durex, like, I've done loads of campaigns with them.
Yeah.
That's just one brand. So I would actually say about 20.
You know what's funny as well is that I've never noticed people giving out about you working with brands. And I feel like for a lot of the fashion influencers, if they do two ads in a row, they get loads of shit going, oh, you're just trying to sell us stuff all the time now.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't get that.
Not that, like, I'm kind of saying their ads are bad and mine are better, but I'm in a lucky position in that, like, the ads I get are actually allow me to be as me as possible. I work with Jurex. They kind of let me go on the way I like to go on. It's condoms. It's kind of funny. Whereas, you know, with other people, they have to push like products and it's more traditional than what I'm doing. I work with Centra. They allow me like dance around the kitchen with a loaf of bread. So I get to be very me.
But I think also the brands, they want to get a bit of James Kavanagh into their brand. Whereas I think with other people, they want to get their brand onto that feed. If you know what I mean, it's almost a flip side. Like, that they're like, we want our brand to look amazing.
Yeah.
Whereas with you, they're just like, we want you to be really engaging holding our brand.
That's pretty much it.
You know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah. And like at the start, like some brands would want a literal photo of their product on my feed. And I'm like, no, I need to involve myself in it in some way in order for me to get engagement.
But like sometimes I did a thing last year with Sunsweet.
Prunes,
which a lot of people online thought was hilarious. But like, prunes are delicious.
You did nice things with them though, didn't you?
I did some nice things, but there were a few photos in my feed that were just like the product, which
just
is what
prunes.
They wanted. And I think at the time I was like, you know what? I can't afford to turn this down because I wasn't getting that much work. And this was a really big, like, where they wanted a load of different things. And it was kind of going, this can pay my rent for like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So fuck it, I just need to do it. But you also see as well, it doesn't do well.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? And then you're like, well, look, like, of course I didn't do well because it was boring.
Yeah, and it's not good for the brand. It's not good for you either. It is a real nervousy thing to be in because, like, for example, I have only about 2 jobs lined up that I know of for the next, like, 2 months. So I'm always fearing, when is this going to end? When does the tap go off? Mm. Do you know? Because I'll be really honest, I'm loving life at the moment.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's great. And I can afford to be full-time me in a weird way. Now, that sounds so arsehole-y, but that's what I'm doing. But I also know it's temporary. This is not going to last forever.
No.
For me. For the industry, I think it will. But for
I think
me
it will,
personally,
but
it won't.
But like, I think it's almost like modelling, that it'll just...
100%.
People will get younger and it'll be other people coming up and, you know, people you see coming up now and you're like, oh, I hate you. Loads.
Yeah.
The young ones. You mentioned Kurabini there. Mm. Did you start Kurabini in any way just so you wouldn't have to tell people you're a social media influencer? You're like, I need something else.
Yes. No, I actually didn't.
Kurabini's the food brand that you co-own with your boyfriend, William.
Yeah. So Kurabini started because William had just finished the Ballymaloe cookery course. and kind of like, it's 15 grand, so you kind of need to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I was working with Kerrygold at the time and we were sponsoring the Ballymaloe Lit Fest. So I was down there and William was down there at the same time. And we were kind of like loving this world we were both in. Like, you know, like it was just so Enid Blyton-y. Like you'd see Doreen Allen chasing chickens and picking up chickens and someone pulling chard out of the ground. And it was like, I want to be in this wholesome, like wholesome life forever. So we just decided we'd open up a cafe eventually. And we were in Kirribinny, which is where William's from in Cork, and we decided we'd call it Kirribinny. But then we were like, oh, we don't have any money to set up a cafe, so we decided to sell at markets and cater. That's how we kind of started. And to be honest as well, like, you know what I'm doing, like I'm hosting things, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, like I know that can't last forever. So I just I was like, Kirribinny is something that will last forever. People always need to eat, so it's something I can nurture and grow. I always worry for people who are doing what I'm doing, influencing or whatever, that aren't kind of doing nurturing anything something else to land on afterwards.
Yeah.
And there is quite a few people that aren't doing that. I'm like, you know, the party's going to end someday, so you need to be having a little fallback there, which is what Kirribinny is.
And what's going on with the cafe? Because I know for a while on Instagram you were documenting, you were kind of doing a lot of research into how to set up cafes, and you were working with a woman,
Cushman and Wakefield. Oh no, sorry, Blonde at Bergen.
Yes,
she's Doreen Allen's sister.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah, and you were doing a lot of research. So like, where is the cafe now?
Well,
where's the cafe, James? What's going on?
I know. I've actually, I don't think I told you this, but I'm going to Ballymaloe in April. I'm doing the 3-month cookery course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's to kind of just catch up with William because he's just fantastic and I just want to be on his level. So I'm doing that course. It finishes in July and then we're hoping to get serious and open up by the end of this year.
Okay.
So yeah, it's hopefully by the end of this year. But you know what the hardest thing is? Premises. Like there's all these like groups that are buying up everything. Everything's looking a little bit identical and there's you know.
I was just listing out Press Up Group premises to somebody the other day.
Yeah.
And I was going, you know, it's great that they're like reviving, like I'm really glad the Stella Theatre in Rathmines is reopened.
It's fab and
it's gorgeous. And like the Dean is nice and Sophie's is nice and the Devlin looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, soon it's kind of Lex Luthery. I mean, soon everything will be Lex Corp.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
yeah.
It makes me feel a little bit worried.
Yeah. Well, like it's, I do very much enjoy all the press up places, but
oh, yeah, they're nice. Like,
yeah.
They're nice.
But it's not just them, it's other people as well that are kind of buying up all these gorgeous little buildings and I'm like, oh, it's so hard for someone like Kirribinny that, like, you know.
It's hard for us in Kirribinny.
It is.
Aside from the cafe, have you had a plan for your social media? As in, like, do you plan what you're going to talk about?
No. Not at all. Were you hoping for a different answer?
I was hoping for, like, yeah, I'm really cynical.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And stuff like when you're working, so I'm working in social media now, and you know you have this content calendar where you're working out like, when is International Day of Happiness? When is like International Bread Day? And you're working out all these different days to come up with different campaigns that you can work around and go like, like tomorrow, for example, although probably yesterday by the time this podcast goes out, is the day that people are most likely to break their New Year's resolutions. So I'm planning content around that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas you're obviously not doing any of that.
I'm actually breaking my New Year's resolution on the 26th of, I was having a dry January. And
how can you plan to break your New Year's resolution?
Well, because someone is having a house party that I really want to go to. So I know I'm going to break it on the 26th.
James.
Yeah, but I need to get locked. drink
responsibly, kids.
But plan stuff. So I generally work my social media content around whatever's happening, and like luckily there's always something kind of interesting happening in my life. Like I got I got laser eye surgery, for example, a few months ago, and people were really interested in that. I just got a hair transplant. People are really interested in that. I just found a frame the other day, yesterday with, you know, all these letters in the back of it. That turned into a big story on social media. So I always just kind of like make stuff exciting on my social media.
You're basically
that's just happening
like
in my life.
Making stories out of your mundane everyday life.
Yeah.
Where someone else would be like, that's mad, I found this shit in the back of a frame. You're like, guys, let's go on the radio and talk about it.
Yeah. Throw glitter on mundane things.
The topics you've covered have obviously then been really wide ranging. So like, you have a YouTube video on how to make the perfect cup of tea. I would like to point out, when James arrived at my house today, I said, do you want a cup of tea? But you're going to have to make it. The pressure was just too much. But like, you've also spotlighted your nephew talking about autism. You had a regular series talking about sex and answering people's questions. Do you still do that?
No,
not as much.
Not really anymore, no. But you know what? STIs, there's only so many of them.
Yeah, and you answered everybody's questions.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, but all those snaps are gone, so you should do it again.
Yeah, I should. I did a video with Lexa Checks and went through the whole lot. But yeah, no, I do. I love doing that. And that's, again, gets real good interaction. People love talking about sex.
So like, none of that was strategic. Like, when you were doing the sex series, was there any point at which you went, let's get some sponsorship for this? Or did they come to you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I was doing it for a good like month and a bit before Let's Get Checked even came to me. And then they wanted to sponsor one video. And then obviously Jurex kind of heard about me talking about sex. So that's how I got that. But no, it was just, it was so accidental. I know it's really annoying. And like whenever I do talks and stuff, they're like, what was your 5-year plan? And like, I'm like, I genuinely don't have a plan. It's just as things
come. You know what?
Come.
Even if people have a 5-year plan, nobody's 5-year plan works.
No, it doesn't.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about a 5-year plan for your company and your company is something really like an accountancy firm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, of course. Like, yeah, you can't.
5-year plans, life's not like that.
No. And the sex thing happened because I was talking about bullying and I was asking followers at the time were all like in literally third year. They were quite young. And I was like, does bullying still happen these days, guys?
Is bullying still a thing?
Yeah. And I was getting all these things back. And then I accidentally just talked about sex. And I was like, oh God, my sex education, lol. Like we were literally, a video was wheeled in and it was, it just showed a penis and a vagina and then a baby. And that was literally the height of it.
That just goes to show how much younger you are than me, because I didn't see a penis until I was 16.
I didn't 21. See it at school.
Like, I wasn't shown. Well, I was shown it, but you know what I mean? Not by a teacher. It wasn't official.
Yeah, our video, it did show penis, but it didn't show sex for pleasure. It didn't show any gay sex.
Of course not. Listen, I'm sure gay sex still doesn't exist in
schools. It doesn't. No, bless yourself. But that's what we were showing. And I was like, has it improved at all? And all the messages I was getting back from kids in school now were, no, it hasn't improved. We're still showing that video. The priests or the nuns are cock-blocking our sex education, literally. Yeah, it's still the exact same. And that's how I got talking about it. I was like, well, I am going to teach the kids sex education.
So I have all these kids.
Yeah,
I'm like picturing you as like the Pied Piper sitting around like with like a banana and a condom going, literally. Hello children, this is what we're gonna do now.
And I'm not ashamed to say I've had a lot of STIs. I like Pokemon, I've caught them all.
Really?
I've had gonorrhea, I've had syphilis.
Syphilis? That's very 19th century.
It's very scary.
But it's on the rise,
isn't it? It's on the rise, yeah. Now, I sound really hoorish, but with the syphilis.
Hoorish.
Do you know how I got it? My ex-boyfriend, you know, I'll tell his name afterwards. And he cheated on me. Oh. And he brought the syphilis back into the relationship.
He brought it into the bed.
Into the bed. And I broke up with him very coincidentally and very luckily a week after he gave me the syphilis. We broke up. And then
I went for an STI test.
Went for an STI check because I was riding William at the time. And I was like, right, I better be clean before I go into this. And then they told me I had syphilis. Luckily, I didn't pass on to William. But you know how they like have to check that it's gone? A lumbar puncture. So I had to get my spine drained of fluid.
James
to make
is making
sure the
most horrific
gone.
Mime. Like he's like pulling out the world's biggest syringe.
my spine was tapped and I had to find out I got the... So anyway, I'm all clear. No syphilis now. But yeah, I got the syphilis, gonorrhea, got crabs once as well. Which are a treat. My God. You can actually see them as well.
Oh, stop.
They're like little Pokemon.
Sorry, speaking of really disgusting things, did you see the video yesterday of the eels eating the pizza?
No.
Oh my God, I should show you that afterwards.
An
video.
Eel eating a pizza.
No, eels, like several eels.
Like the snaky things
yes,
in the water.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I have to show you. It's horrific.
Well, William actually and Kurabini, when he was growing up, the eel is still there. There's an eel outside his house because he lives on the water and they call him Rasher because they feed him rashers. So this horrible eel
eels
comes out
disgusting.
Eats pig meat. Like that's so scary.
That's so unnatural.
Do you know
as well.
They're delicious though? Very nice.
I bet you all think they're delicious after you see them eating this pizza.
Oh, I'm really scared.
Back to topics you've talked about on social media. One of the things I noticed you talking about before Christmas, which is kind of why I wanted to have you on, although it's past now, but you were talking about the kind of the whole idea of like PC culture gone mad.
Yeah.
I think it was around the time of Fairy Tale in New York.
Yes, yeah.
When there was this uproar. Mm. And I kind of wanted to talk about it because I thought it was really interesting the way you were talking about it. Mm. So do it again. Say exactly what you said on Instagram.
What was I saying again?
Well, basically, you were talking about how the idea of like PC culture gone mad is basically people going, I have a problem with you being sound.
Oh my God, yeah. No, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
And I actually remember seeing Sinead Burke say PC is basically another way of being kind.
Yeah.
Look, it's that simple. Yeah. And something that happened, I think, since I spoke on Instagram was there's so many people who are like, PC gone mad, the world, you can't say a thing. Now, I know this really lovely woman in Cork, and she always chats to me. I always see her when I go down, and she came up to me and she goes, come here to me, what do you think about all this PC nonsense? And it was around the time of Fairy Tale in New York, because everyone was thinking about it then, talking about it. And I was like, well, what do you actually mean? And she goes, like, you just can't say a thing. And I said, what do you want to say? And she goes, I don't know, but you just can't say anything. So it's funny. I think like media are responsible as well for some of this brainwashing a certain type of person into thinking they're being restricted when they're actually not. If you ask someone who is saying the world has gone PC mad, you can't say a thing. If you specifically say, what do you want to say? They either can't think of a thing
or it's racist or homophobic
or transphobic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I start to do that now. And anyone listening, do ask people that who say the world has gone PC mad. Say, what specifically do you want to say? And 9 times out of 10, it's they can't think. And the one time they can, it's going to be something bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the whole thing about Fairy Tale of New York, I was talking to somebody about it who was like, you know, that song's been on for years and none of us took offense and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but if by beeping out that one fucking word, it means that...
I love that you said fucking.
That you have 20 young people in Ireland who aren't feeling awkward listening to that song with their parents.
Yeah.
Then why would you not do that? Or even if it just helps one person.
Yeah.
Do you know, you're like, what difference? Like, what difference is it making to your life to beep out that word?
Yeah.
That like, no, we all know. Nobody uses that word. And if they do, they're an asshole.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, it personally, as a gay, doesn't, like, the song doesn't bother me at all. But I'm willing to listen to the people that it does bother and maybe try and help them in some way.
Yeah.
Like, I seen a video one of my friends uploaded from Manchester. He was kind of talking about this as well. And then he put up a video of a singer on the street singing the song, and he said a busker, that's the word. And he was like, you cheap lazy faggot. And my friend, who's obviously a gay person, they like, there was a couple of straight lads singing and they all pointed at him and said faggot. So, you know, that actually made me think. It didn't bother me at the start, but I was like,
you know, it's like the whole concept of Halloween is the one time you can dress like a slut, and Christmas is the one time you can sing like a homophobe.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you know what I mean? This one song allows you to say this word that you're not allowed to say for the rest of the year and that you're obviously really raging about.
Yeah. And you know what? I always think, like, look at the timeline of life. So stuff that was funny in the 60s and 70s just is not funny now. Yeah. The way they made fun of gay people, or the way they would make fun of people of color in stand up, or you know, those Carry On type comedy shows and stuff, like, they're so actually problematic when you look back at them. Now, you know, the time has moved on where other things are kind of not cool.
And
it's like, it's just how time is moving. People are like, everything's being robbed from us. You can't say anything. It's like, well, if you look back 20, 30 years ago, there's stuff that you can't be said now that...
Yeah.
You know, it's just time moving on and people are just getting more aware and well.
Yeah, and people being sounder and like trying to be more inclusive.
That's
But like also, you know what? I watched Bring It On the other day. I was having one of these moments where I was like, I want to watch something utterly mindless.
I love Bring It On.
That I won't cry.
Yeah.
That I might laugh, maybe, you know. But Bring It On is like, there's loads of really dodgy lines in that. Like, there's one point where they're in the car and she goes, are you guys straight? And one of them goes, I'm like undecided. And the other guy goes, well, and she goes, oh, do you speak gay?
Yeah.
And it's this really weird moment where you're like, what? Like, that would not be in the... And like, even when the, you know, when the guy, like, for anybody who hasn't seen Bring It On, this might be the most boring segue ever. Mm. But there's a bit where this like drill commander comes to whip them all into shape and he starts body shaming all the women and being like, maybe if you stop eating for long enough, your body will start to eat your ass. And it's like a kind of a hilarious line, but you're also like, this is grim. Like, this would not be... Yeah. Would not be in a film now.
And like, Sex and the City is probably one of my favorite shows in the entire world. But there's so much shit in that that's like, oh Jesus. Like,
oh, yeah.
Kind of transphobic-y bits and mild homophobia. And that's fine. I wouldn't be of the mindset to delete Sex and the City from life.
No,
but it's okay to learn from it and move on.
And it's also really good, I think, to talk about it.
Absolutely.
And to go,
yeah.
Here's what's wrong. And let's just talk about how Carrie's an asshole before we even start. Such an asshole.
Samantha for life.
Oh, I really like Miranda.
Oh, Miranda's great.
Even though she wore terrible clothes in the first series.
Yeah,
she just wore the worst like skirts where she just always had a fupa.
She kind of looked Koss though. Kind of Koss vibes.
But
she was always
ill-fitting.
Wearing boxy kind of outfits.
Yeah, but she didn't.
Outfits.
Ill-fitting. To get things back to a more salubrious note,
mm-hmm.
What's the best freebie you've ever got? Bet you've got some really good ones.
Do you know what? Someone only asked me this yesterday, so I know. My Sage Oracle coffee machine. It's so good. Oh my God. It has the grinder built in. It's like having a little mini barista in your kitchen.
Where did you get that from? Curry's
from
PC
Sage.
World. Oh,
from Sage.
Themselves.
Yeah. That was my best freebie.
That's actually how you know you're real fancy. When you're not even getting it from the retailer, you're getting it from the brand.
Directly from the brand, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was probably me fave. And then I got a trip to Thailand for free, which was great.
Did you go with Emirates?
No, I went with Use It. Yeah.
Slightly less glamorous.
I know, it's not very glamorous. I did go with Emirates to Japan, though.
Oh, yes.
Got
the flights.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was
fab.
Nice. Yeah.
Did you get a whole like little cubby to yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you want. I saw Nadia El Ferdowasi.
I know, it looks so good.
Is currently in like New Zealand and she went with Emirates and I was literally watching and getting really pissed. Like, I mean, I'm the most jealous bitch ever.
Yeah.
So I can't watch these things and be happy for people. I'm like, fuck.
I know,
sake,
yeah.
Look at this.
I went to Melbourne last year, but I paid. I went to Emirates Business. Oh my God. It's just, it ruins you though, because when you're going economy, then it's just like, this is.
That leads me. Disgustingly on to my next question, which is, are you a millionaire yet?
No, I'm certainly not.
Because
money comes in, it goes straight back out.
Yeah, I actually sometimes look at you and I'm like, what's James doing? I'm like, don't buy that Gucci backpack. Keep that money. Like, put that down.
I know. I'm so like if I was to like add up all the jobs over the last 3 years, like I could definitely have a down payment on maybe.
What do you mean if you were to add them up? Surely you have to add them up for your accountant.
Well, yeah, I do, but I don't remember
don't
because
about
it's upsetting.
It.
But no, I've no savings. I've no. Well, I do have some savings, but it's kind of more for the VAT and the tax.
Oh, the VAT.
It's vile. I have to do one now. Do you have to do one now in a minute?
No, I'm finished. So I did my VAT return in December and I did my tax earlier this, even though I know I don't have to do it till October, but
yeah.
I did it this month.
So how often do you pay VAT?
Whatever
I
way
do it
I
every
was,
3 months.
Weirdly, whatever way I was set up for VAT, I paid every 6 months.
Okay.
But I've unregistered now because I'm not doing enough freelance stuff to be registered for VAT.
Yeah,
I was
just
paying my ass. Like in December, I was running around basically going, what can I buy that I can count the VAT off? Like,
yeah.
What do I need to buy that I can buy right now so that I can count it off my VAT thing? I heard that an Irish influencer, who I'll tell you off air, who does not have as many followers as you, made €100,000 in 2017.
What?
So you didn't make 100,000?
No, I did not. I need to be charged more.
Because I was like, James definitely made as much as her.
No.
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 Then lastly, this seems stupid, right? Because if people don't know, they don't deserve to. But where can people follow you?
At James Allen Kavanagh on Instagram. That's my
That's
main.
Long.
I know, yeah. They didn't have James Kavanagh and I wasn't going to settle for an underscore. So I just put Allen in. James Allen Kavanagh. I don't Snapchat anymore. Do you Snapchat?
No.
No, I'm off
no,
it completely.
I gave it up.
Yeah. So Instagram is my main, really. And then I do the odd tweet now and again when I'm outraged about something.
And you post on Curbini, don't you? So you have
Curbini
posts.
Follow Curbini, please. Because that's my baby I'm nurturing to...
I'll put the links to all of these in the show notes.
Please do.
James, thank you so much for taking the time to come and chat to me.
Yeah.
And thank you all for listening to How to Be Sound. If you're not already, please subscribe so that you'll know exactly when the next episode goes live. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you could do me a solid by taking time to rate, review and subscribe. It's really helpful and rating and reviewing helps other people find the podcast. I want more. More. I have a Patreon page at patreon.com/RosemaryMcCabe. You can show your support for the show and for me by signing up and pledging as little as $1 a month. And for that, you get access to my exclusive book club. This month, I took 14 women out for pizza. And we talked about Busy Phillips, This Will Only Hurt a Little. And it was fun, I think. And next month's book is already up on Patreon. And it also helps me to pay my producer, Liam Garrity, who lovingly records and edits my podcast and then sends me messages reminding me to post it on Facebook and post it on Twitter and put it in groups and stuff. He's very helpful. And he also has his own podcast, Meet Your Maker, which is back with a brand new series in February. And that's at meetyourmaker.ie. Follow me at Rosemary McCabe with an A in my Mac, on Twitter, on Instagram, and check out my Facebook page by adding a little one to the end of the Rosemary McCabe. And now, All patrons at the $3.33 level and higher get the privilege of hearing their name in audio. They get the privilege of hearing their own name. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, I'd like to thank Amy Hines, Aisling Dignam, Aisling Dollard, Aisling Lonergan, Alex O'Riordan, American Amy, Angela McKeever, Avril Flynn, Breed Gallagher, Karen Cregan, Katie Joy, Claire Gormley, Claire Hennessy, Deirdre Corrigan, Eleanor Farrell, Emma Riley, Fiona Louth, Heidi Gardner, Jan Neil Lanagon, Jenny Roach. It's like playing the piano when you're trying to flip about. Jill Murray, Kate Kerwin, Kate Stapleton, Kathy Burke, Katie Lally, Kira McGuinness, Leanne Kiley, Lola and Tomasa, Louise O'Neill, Mairéad Nolan, Margaret O'Sullivan, Marion Flynn, Marina Hogan, Niamh B. Leonard, Niamh Connolly, Niamh Kelly, Niamh Shine, Paula Dennen, Roseanne Smith, Ruth Queeley, Sarah Breen, Sarah Conroy, Sarah Hanrahan, Sarah Marr, Sarah McCann, Sarah O'Donovan, Sinead Fegan, Sonia Mary, Sophie Colgan, Timmy Hennessy, Tracy Hardy, Trassa, Trevor Steins, Anya Kelly, Eva McBride, Eva Campbell, Katrina Kennelly, Claire Hegarty, Dolores Mee, I should be making 100,000 a year, Hazel O, Joanne, Katia Valadao, Marita Leonard, Niamh Nigowan, OCM, Sandra Banham, Sharon Lennon, Shauna O'Hara, Tara Flynn, Trish O'Sullivan, Kira Norton, Martina Janaki, Sandra Cashman, Stephen Harding, Helen Queeley, and Paul Jeremiah Hayes. Thanks so much for listening and catch you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.